Good evening. I'd like to bring this meeting of the Carson City Airport Authority to order. We are at the Carson City Community Center Sierra Room. It is March 20th at 6:02 p.m. Madam Secretary, would you please call the roll?
Chairperson Law.
Here.
Treasurer Harvey.
Here.
Member Barrett.
Here.
Member Golden.
Here.
Member Hamilton.
Here.
Member Harris.
Here.
Member Rogers.
Here.
A quorum's present.
Would you rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Item C, approval of the minutes of past meetings of the Airport Authority. Does anyone have any change or correction to the minutes as they were produced? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the January meeting.
Motion to approve.
Second. Go ahead.
Madam Chairman, I'll be abstaining. I was not here.
Member Barrett has abstained, and the minutes have been accepted. Moving on to item D, the chairman reserves the right to modify the agenda in order to most effectively process the agenda items. Items may be taken out of order. Items may be combined for consideration by the authority. Items may be pulled or removed from the agenda at any time. Does anyone have any suggestion for a change in the agenda? As I do not. None heard. We will proceed. Item E, public comment. Members of the public who wish to address the Airport Authority may speak on agendized and non-agendized matters related to the airport. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per person or topic. If your item requires extended discussion, please request the chairman to calendar the matter for future Airport Authority meeting. We have no one in attendance this evening in the public seats, so we will move on. Item F, public hearings. Number one, for discussion and possible action, review of the Carson City Airport Authority fiscal year 19-20 draft budget. Mr. Mullen and Mr. Harvey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So we've taken, as we told you, we'd bring a first draft. So we've taken a look, what Ken and I have gone through, the process of going through the process of reviewing last year's budget, where we are to date, and next year. Some good signs, just FYI. So we found out after getting what the property taxes were, a great uptick this last year. So we're, frankly, we're on track with our budget. We'll do that later, our current budget, and we'll be ahead on our income. And next year, it's even gone up another quite a bit in production. So that's going to be a big help for the airport. In the last number of years, frankly, we've had a tough time with the budget, trying to kind of meet our obligations and hoping for things like rock sales. This way, the rock sales will truly be a blessing in addition to this. So I think you're going to see some a little bit of change that's going to help be helpful to us based on some of the increases in hangar leases and things like that. So I've gone over this. I know Chairman Law has reviewed it independently with Ken as well. But I'm going to turn it over to Ken to kind of walk through the basics of the budget.
Thank you, Member Harvey.
It's on.
It's on. I can bring it a little bit closer. How do you hear me now? Okay. Thank you very much for that, Member Harvey. I do want to point out to the board that we will not be approving the final budget at the April meeting. That'll be at September. And according to the NRS, May, according to the NRS, there's a specific time frame, and it can't be before the last Monday of the month. And I think I have the no sooner than the third Monday in May and not later than the last day in May. So we'll have to look at that as part of our motion today to set that meeting, and that's when we'll approve the final budget. So we'll submit with the board's approval today the tentative budget. We can make any changes that may be suggested by the board today, and then we can review that again in April and then come back and make sure we've got that tightened up. But I do have it on the overhead. I don't know if that's any easier to read. It doesn't appear like it to me, but I guess that's that little, there you go. Thanks, Steve. But I'm going to go ahead and walk through since everybody has a copy of it in front of them. Beginning with the top of the budget, we have the airport leases. So if you look under hangar lease, that's the Shade Tree lease. And that will be coming up for a CPI increase in January. So there'll be a slight increase in that rental rate. And you may recall that the leases call for a CPI adjustment every 2 years, and then we alternate certain leases so that we always get some increase in the tenant base during that time. The estimate from the for the tax, real property tax revenue was estimated $260,000 for this next year, for the third that the airport gets. And so we'll see a nice uptick in that. The land leases, it's not so much that they're going down from the budget from last year, but when I went through QuickBooks and did all the math and the numbers, that's the number I came up with. So when I shared this with Beth Cohn, nothing jumped out at her, but it's a minor discrepancy. It's about $4,000 over the year, so I don't really see that as being a big issue. We will see an increase in CPI in half of those two, so it should be up a little bit based on that as well. The tower leases get a 3% annual increase every year, so you'll see the slight improvement in both the AT&T and the Verizon lease in that line item. And then the prepaid leases for Gonai Aviation and the old Contry Hangar, which is now John Mays's, that's just reflecting the both of those. I think before it's been carried through, it's just simply the Contry lease. If you go down into the other income, you'll see things, tie-down fees, long-term parking fees. Those are the ones, there's two cars parked in our parking lot. We've had three at some points, but those are immaterial really to their budget. The Class 2 FBO fees are now including two additional operators. And I'm going to circle back to that topic here in a little bit. Make a note that we're going to chat a little bit more about that. Sponsorship fees, miscellaneous, that miscellaneous income. We had a little bit of miscellaneous income where we did some snow plowing for one of the hangar groups. So that kind of income gets counted for that. But it's nothing that's really plan for in the budget as far as covering our expenses in that manner. Open house income, if you go down to line item, there's an opposite charge for open house. We've always carried a line item of about $5,000 and that didn't really count on income. Well, I'm using last year's numbers where we brought in about $12,000 and we spent about $10,000. So there was a little bit of a benefit, if you recall, from that. So it's actually zeroed out on here. Line item 5402 is the income, and then the expense side is carried on 60, is that, what was that?
6280.
Ah, yes, thank you. So 6280 shows basically that's a zero budget. I'm planning for a little bit more revenue, but this is not this year's open house. It's the subsequent year, next year. Interest income, that is a huge uptick. If you look at that, before we went to the local government investment program that was driven by Chair Law, that was just minuscule amount of money from through our interest rate at Citibank, and that's been trending higher. And you'll see that when we look at the financials, you'll probably see those current numbers. It's running about between $500 and $700 a month. Plus, we have some additional funds. I spoke to both Chair Law and the Treasurer, Mr. Harvey, about that, and we're going to move some additional funding in there. As pointed out by Member Rogers in a couple of meetings before, so we have about another $275,000 to $295,000 we can move in there. that we won't have an immediate need for. We do have some of the AIP stuff coming through this month, so we'll have some revenue demands or expense demands on that in the next over the next couple months. But that's a nice uptick in our revenue stream. The general engineering, as you know, we haven't been inviting the engineer to come to all the meetings, so that's been saving the organization about $500 a month. And we will bring them in as needed, but in the case of a monthly report, we're just having them submit that in writing at this point in time. If you look at memberships, registration, conferences, et cetera, that is carried out on a detailed sheet. It looks something like this. I'd put it up on the screen, but you're not going to be able to read it anyway. So it's a long list there of various detail on some of these. And if you look down at item let's look at memberships first. So that includes the AAAE membership, the Southwest chapter of the AAAE, Carson Chamber of Commerce, Nevada Airports Association. I'm budgeting this year for two additional ones, the Nevada Business Aviation Association, as well as the Northern Nevada Development Authority. So that comes out to a total of about $1,500. So that's reflected in our budget. The registration or conference fees for attending conferences. I registered as a lobbyist this year, and that was a biennium deal. So I'm just going to carry in the budget $150 each budget year instead of $300 every other year. That way we don't lose track of that line item. Then AAAE conference registration, the winter and the summer SWAE conference, and then, of course, the Northern Nevada or the Nevada Airports Association conference. That's roughly about $1,930. And if something else may come up, as Member Law pointed out, was the FAA conference. That doesn't happen every year, but when they do have it, they don't charge a membership fee, so it's basically just travel to attend that. And then the conference line item itself is actually a budget for the travel. And I budgeted a little bit high on those. Obviously, you don't know how airfares are going to be and those sort of things. But I came out with a total on that I think is representative of what those costs will actually be. If you continue down to line item 6170, this is kind of an open item. And I believe Chair Law spoke to each of the members about this. I was nominated to a national director position on the AAAE, and we're going to cover expenses for that, meeting those board obligations. But if I don't get elected, then, you know, it'll be a moot point. So obviously that's a large organization, a lot of members in different airports. The likelihood of somebody from Carson City, Nevada getting on there is pretty slim, but if it happens, I think it would be great for our community and for the airport itself.
I just want to make note that when I made the phone calls, I only called a couple of you because I didn't want to worry about any kind of a serial meeting. And so I thank those who had their input to me, and I didn't mean to slight anybody else, but I didn't want to get sideways with the open meeting law.
And then continue on the expense side. Tracking mileage, we did 500 last year. It's been a little bit higher than that, and we also want to be able to keep a little bit of allowance based upon changes in the IRS mileage rule. Marketing website, and then legal notices. That all depends. Some of that depends not only just on our grants. When we have to advertise those, we advertise the budget. If we do get a business proposal, we have to have money set aside for that. So we went a little bit higher than what we had actually used in the 18-19 budget. I think the market will definitely bear that out as we go forward. Any questions on the items I've covered so far?
I would note that on the publication portion of it, in another organization that I am responsible for doing publications for in the last 2 years, the cost of those publications has almost doubled. So that's one of the reasons we kind of put a little extra in there. Member Golden.
Yeah, Ken, just one question, or maybe you can help me understand better. Item 5150, the tie-down fees?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You have it in there at 3,700, and the past 2 years we were at 1,000, and I'm hoping that we're collecting tie-down fees from those who park on the general aviation ramp on the south end, and that there's a process for doing that, and that's why the 3,700 is there. But if that's not the case, could you tell us why it's going to increase?
Well, this is trended a little higher. We can look at this when we look at the P&L. But we are very active about that. And one of the things that we're trying to get our eyeball on is that not just the airplanes out on the south ramp, but also the north ramp. I know we share with Mountain West some of the tie-down spaces belong to you, et cetera. So we're trying to keep an eye on that as well. And I think one of my goals is to coordinate a little bit closer with your FBO personnel and help them identify that. But the maintenance specialist does airport checks on a regular basis, and that's one of his tasks, is to check out aircraft that are parked there. As you know, the Grumman is still up there, the Albatross, and we did collect some fees from that. We got a couple $100 so far, but we're working on continuing. Not just, I want that one gone.
Yeah,
more,
I would encourage,
more than Kett's getting additional fee on that.
I guess my point would be I would encourage airport staff to do whatever is reasonable and necessary within its means to optimize the amount of fees you collect there.
Right.
Because there has been a culture at the airport of transients using the south ramp and not paying.
Right.
So and a lot of them, that's why I think there's some opportunity there.
A lot of the transients end up over Sterling. They see the airplanes parked there and they go, oh, this must be transient parking. But no, we're very on top of that, as well as the vehicles in the parking lot outside. We attend to that as well. But also, the air race tie-down fees are up this last year, and I think with a good economy, that'll trend up as well.
Member Rogers.
First of all, thank you for the detail. Excellent. Very easy to understand. I really appreciate that. I was just curious why you thought it would be necessary slash appropriate to join an NDA this coming year.
Well, I had an interesting conversation with Rob Hooper. The mayor helped facilitate a meeting with NNDA, and we were speaking about the airport and its alignment with that organization and how it improved both parties, because they had a couple of interests in the parcels near the airport and asked for our input on what type of buildings, where they could set up and that sort of thing. So I think establishing this close communication and relationship with NNDA is important. As you saw in the presentation from Professor Harris about our economic impact, that how an airport in a community creates a draw for other businesses relocating. So I think that's an important piece to be involved in an economic development standpoint, where we can help each other. And so I look at that relationship to improve and continue to grow, just like the chamber. I think the airport was a member of the chamber at one time, and then during some lean years, they canceled the membership. But I think it was important to reestablish that and become more active in the community. And with the improvements that we made to the terminal building, we want to bring more people in to the terminal, and the improvements we're talking about doing to the other facilities. It's something I want to discuss at a little later point. But to make the airport more of a top of mind in the community, and I think that's important to have those relationships.
I might add to that, this is Chairman speaking, over the last year I've attended at least three of their meetings, and one of the meetings that they had, they were talking about things that they might be able to help communities in, and I put into that the infrastructure in this state in many places, especially in rural areas, is beginning to deteriorate to a point where especially the airports need more money for maintenance and that sort of thing. And it was amazing how many of them didn't realize that the local counties were responsible for those. I don't know who they thought took care of the maintenance and so forth there, but there seemed to be a lot of enthusiasm at those meetings to pay more attention to the maintenance and so forth on these infrastructure assets that might be used for emergency services and so forth across the state.
And
I have a,
go ahead.
Just a question, comment. My experience with the NNDA has been, to be generous, mixed. I was a member at one time. Attended a lot of meetings and that sort of thing. So I guess my comment is I'd like to think of this, if we're going to become members, I'd like to think of it as a trial membership, and that I ask that when a year passes and we're looking at budgets again, that you keep in mind that you know, we'd like to hear what they've done for us in the past year, because I'm just being honest here. I think there's a lot of ways to spend your money in the airport business, and somebody will have to prove to me that that's a good investment.
Madam Chairperson.
Mr. Barrett.
Thank you. I am the Board of Supervisors liaison member of the Development Authority Board, and so I will join with Ken in reporting after a year. And without putting my foot in my mouth, I would say, Bradley, that was a pertinent comment that you made.
Thank you.
Well, my experience with the board is very limited at this time, so I'm really looking forward to seeing how that does develop for both of us. I know that a lot of people think the similar things about chambers of commerce in the manner that, hey, I'm not getting my health insurance through them. What have they done for me lately? But, you know, one of the tasks that I've had in my position is economic development, and I think you got to start at least with those kind of organizations to facilitate the conversation. I mean, a lot of the things I heard early on here in my year has been, we have an airport? It's up there? So I want to change that conversation. I think it's a good place to start. But it's always appropriate every year, since we do budget every year, to look at all these line items and determine what's appropriate and not appropriate. I agree.
Right. And I just to make a further thought bubble out there, I mean, you can think of an NDA, and it is, in fact, a public-private partnership. You know, they're going out and they're looking for dues, and they also receive funding from the state. And you can look at our airport as a public-private partnership, except that we're a little bit more on the public side of things, because we don't get private money. We don't, you know, we don't have memberships. We earn everything. And I could make an argument that it should be NNDA paying us to belong to the airport rather than the other way around. I don't really understand why we're not members, and just because of being an airport and a public entity. I don't know why the leadership would even ask for a contribution from an airport to belong. So that's my thinking. And again, my experience with NNDA is that it will not necessarily be a good investment for us.
Any other questions at this juncture? Comments? Okay.
Go ahead and proceed.
I was going to move down to operating expenses, and the first part, utilities, 6301. Electricity and gas usage has gone down considerably with the investment that was made in insulating the building and sheetrocking the ceiling. And so that's evident in our budget requests. And we're also going to be discussing capital outlays later, and so we're looking to get some further improvement on south ramp lighting. So I'll touch on that a little bit later. Phone and internet, internet costs are you know, something we can't get away from, and the phone is probably about as cheap as we're going to get it. So I think there's not much we're going to be able to do on those two items. But the energy usage in and of itself, there might be a little higher use on the water as we move forward and to get into some improved landscaping. But I think for now that's kind of a placeholder. I don't really know where that will go, and I don't want to pick a number that's exorbitant. And we don't have anything at this juncture to really compare it to other than the current history. Go ahead.
I would note that the differential between the 17-18 and 18-19 year on the phone and internet is substantial. I think that was one of the really good moves that we made. That was a significant savings.
Right.
Thank you, Ken.
Continuing on into other expenses, I added a couple line items. Under office supplies and expenses, pretty broad category. I've separated out the computer side of it, the software that we have to renew licenses for, and then any hardware replacements going forward. I also added a meals and entertainment that had been kind of not tracked in a line item in and of itself. So when I take somebody to lunch or coffee or something like that, I want to be able to track that kind of activity. Legal expenses, that has been steady at 70 for the last couple of years and just trending on our current usage. It's gone down. So, of course, there could be some items that come up in the future that we don't have any eyeball on, but we want to be significantly covered for that likelihood. Secretarial, we put a line item in there last year, and I think it's been carried on prior years, about some assistance in managing routine duties. We haven't done that, identified that as a need at this point. I'll get into that when we talk about bookkeeping. But we left a placeholder in there in case that opportunity presents itself. I don't have anything on the horizon, so that might not be a point to discuss.
Question.
Yes, sir.
Do you think that is a sign of the quality of the management of the airport?
I don't know. I think the jury's
– I mean, I'm not trying to butter you up. I'm pointing out something here, that there was a time when – we thought or were told that there was so much administrative work to be done and that it was just going to bury the person. And there wouldn't be any way to work on anything else because there was just so much going on. And the fact that you're now, you know, we're now pulling that number down and you are saying, well, maybe we don't, to me tells me that we were misinformed and that at the same time, you've been doing a very good job at routinizing, if you will, putting in place processes to get this stuff run smoothly and efficiently. And I want to recognize you for that.
Well, I appreciate that. I want to say one of the biggest things that I've done is pulling the accounting piece out. I mean, the QuickBooks is a time. I was going to say suck, but it is. I think that's a fair term. But it is, and it's just a difficult process. It's cumbersome. And so pulling that out has been a big help. Another part has been just understanding how the office functions and being able to reorganize some stuff. And, Linda's really helped with that prior to my arrival. Go ahead.
Well, the other thing I might add is during the time that Dirk was here, he and I spent a tremendous amount of time going through old files that had been left without a lot of attention, shall we say, for a long time.
Including leases?
Especially. And so there was quite a bit of time in that year that he was here that it appeared that those responsibilities were kind of swarming. But thanks to Dirk and a lot of his efforts, we got a lot of that cleaned up before Ken came, and he has been the beneficiary of that. And so it was a joint effort of both those gentlemen, and I appreciate that very much.
No, that's valid, no doubt. So continuing on, security is still a carry forward. That's primarily the contract we have with Capital Security that does visits to the airport primarily at night, and then also the alarm system in the building. We upgraded that from an ADT to a Simply Safe, which gave us a camera as well. It's all wireless-based, and I think it's more efficient than the previous service that we had had. I added a line item for CCA board printing, and that's primarily for the board packets. That could all be lumped into office expense, but I felt this is a better way to track it. And the trying to put the poor little office printer through printing a ream of paper for a meeting like this is just really not good use of that machine. Data storage is primarily the off-site data, and I've separated out any of the internet storage data that we use and put that in the internet side, so that line item was a little bit different than it had been in the past. Insurance, that's the global aviation insurance that we policy we have for the airport. It's the auto policy for the flatbed truck, and it's also there's a policy that we have that covers the fence, the AWAS, and the gates. And so those three together are what that number adds up to. However, I've initiated a risk management review, and that'll be covered later in the manager's report. And it's not reflected in what our costs are. I may get some different feedback. So between now and the final budget, you may see some different numbers there based upon whether or not we have adequate coverage. Accounting, the bolus piece has been pretty good. It's been on an hourly basis for the first 6 months, and then now in the next 6 months we're going on a monthly fee based upon the work we've accomplished. So that's improved. There's some things that are lacking in that, and I think we've cleaned up the P&L and that sort of stuff just because where stuff was not posted correctly. So I had a meeting with them asking them how they want the information for me to improve in that going forward. And so I think we've covered that. However, there's some technical stuff like reporting to the State Department that I'm leaning on with our auditor still. And so as we move forward and kind of understand what that is, that's kind of been something that Kona Company's handled in the past without saying. And so we're going to kind of figure out how that relationship looks going forward. You may or may not know that Kona Company merged late last year with I. Bailey. And so Beth Cohn is a partner in that local, I don't know if it's a franchise office, yeah, of I. Bailey. And so she's still my source of that kind of information. Bolus does have accountants that I can lean on to as well. I just don't have that relationship established with them, nor do I think they know all the requirements that and how those paperwork flows as Beth does. So we'll work through that relationship. And then to Member Rogers' point in the past, as we get down to auditing, that number came down from what it was in 17-18 to 12,000, and that also, there were some numbers that were in that 20,000 that included accounting, like going in and cleaning up QuickBooks and that sort of thing. And Member Rogers has asked that we look at an RFP for auditing services, so that's something I'll explore here in the next month or so. And I would assume that I. Bailey would apply if we put out for an IFP, but also we're focusing on, of course, firms that are here in the Valley that would also be able to provide those services. Contract services appraisals, we didn't have appraisal in the last fiscal year, but that I think the one done before for Sierra Skyways was the previous year, 17-18. Hopefully that'll change as we move forward. I'd like to get at least one appraisal going on something. That'd be great. The bank charges are a reflection of we do now have credit card processing fee set up. I've got a Square account, so I can take credit cards now, which is really happy customers. They like that option. I haven't used it a lot, but when they've been able to do it, I think it's a nice improvement on our previous method of payments. Airport equipment maintenance, I raised that a little bit higher based a little bit on our trend. Equipment is aging, which is something we need to talk about as well. And so there are been some high dollar repairs that were required in the last year, both to the tractor and the flatbed truck. But I got some more information I'd like to share with you on that as we move through this. The AWAS service expense, we have a quarterly maintenance fee, and then we're adding the broadcast fee right now. We go through a third-party vendor, and it goes to the National Weather Service site, and then you can access it from that. Well, if we go through All Weather, they have a setup where they can pull up on their phone directly, and it'll come up, and it'll look like the AWAS screen in my conference office. And it's super user-friendly. It cuts down a couple steps. And so it's a little bit more dollar-wise, but not anything significant. And I think it's going to be improved service for the user. And that just got installed today. And then we're going through our certification on the AWAS system tomorrow. So that is just a little footnote. Terminal building maintenance, that's everything outside the capital projects. You know, the things that pop up, water pipe, you know, lighting, you know, anything like of that nature. I might be a little bit high on that, but I'll discuss more about the terminal maintenance here in a little bit. But then the airfield maintenance is basically anything outside on the airfield itself, airport lighting, that sort of thing. And that number stayed the same over the last three budgets. It's been pretty close. We have detected that there's some the current taxway LED lights that we have are getting an end-of-life notice. And so the new modules that they are selling, you can replace individual components before you had to pull out the whole head and replace the head. And so they're a little more costly up front, but we challenged our supplier on the fact that we had no notification about it, and they've given us a price that's reflective of what the old lights are, and they're carrying it forward. So they know that we got 200 lights on the field, and they're going to honor the price. They gave us a letter of that. We're also getting a letter of end of life on that. And so that may make a replacement grant eligible in the future if we elect to go through that process and replace all the taxway lights because of that. That's something I want to do right away, but I think we've got the paperwork lined up to be able to document that. So any questions on those line items? Okay, I'll move down to labor expense. And again, this is an item where we've separated out some stuff. The healthcare expense looks wrong to me. Why is it? Oh, yeah, I don't think that's right. That's a mistake on that part. It's about $1,515 a month for Gary and his family. I believe that's how that's covered. Is that right?
Yeah, but Ken, it went down from 31 to 19, but also there's the manager's medical expense allowance
that's down there. That's down on item 6390, so.
Right. Yeah. That has to be brought back into there. It's not the same line item, right, but the total cost is not that much different.
Yeah, that's probably close. Because before there were two people that were carrying that, and now we're only carrying one. So one and a third, essentially. Okay. Yeah, it just jumped out at me when I looked at it, though. The PERS contribution, that's going to go up in July. I think it's like 1.5%. So I have a training session with PERS. I'll get a solid read on that, but I budgeted that in there. Workman's comp is pro group management, and that's been reflective of what our quarterly payments have been. Unemployment insurance has been something that is deducted directly from our payroll process, and I wanted to make sure that we counted for that. Medicare is the same. Contract labor, we don't have any. And now you see a new line item there for uniforms. I think Chair Law and Member Harvey have seen Gary's new attire. Have you, Member Golden? We went through a process with CentOS and had them come out and show us some uniforms. And we've got it's high-quality stuff. It's Carhartt. And the shirts are embroidered with his name and the logo of the airport on there. I think you've seen him. Remember Hamilton? Have you seen Gary in his new uniform? I think it adds a whole new professionalism to him. And, you know, granted, he'd probably come out before with stuff that he was willing to get diesel fuel and oil and stuff on and go home probably wearing the same clothes just to make sure that he wasn't messing up his real wardrobe. And so it just has improved the look of that. And I think the big sale point for him, when I first talked about it, he wasn't real excited. But then I said, your wife doesn't have to do your laundry anymore. And he's got coveralls to work on outside. So in the winter, when he had to crawl on the ground, he had proper uniform, clothing to do that. And so I'll circulate a photo I took of him wearing the uniform, and I think it just really improved the airport image. So that when somebody comes up to him, they can look at him and say, "Oh yeah, he works here." So I think that was really critical to do. And it's a weekly change out. They repair the uniform. They do all that kind of stuff. So if something happens, it gets fixed and it looks right. Manager's medical expense, that's exactly what I was paid in the last year. And then I broke out Nevada payroll. That was lumped into the total labor expense before, just so we can track that kind of item. And then I've left a blank item there for reserve for salary increase. The labor expense you see other is the salaries for Gary and myself. So I've not budgeted any change in that at this point in time. I believe that's something that we'll discuss at a different point. Any questions on those line items? I'll quickly cover the grant revenue and the grant expenses. The two grants that we have open.
You need to cover the prepaid lease transaction as well.
Oh, that's zeroed out the item up at the very top for prepaid lease of 5053. So the money's coming in, the money's coming out of the other account.
It's strictly a book entry to make sure that we account for that transfer.
So I'll talk about grant revenue, then I'll cover the fuel flow and that sort of stuff. We have two grants that are open currently, AIP 31, which is the master plan, and then AIP 32, which is the taxway rehab project. Year to date, we've received $96,470 in grant revenue for AIP 31 and $137,498 for the taxway rehab project. That is reflected then in the expenses. The difference between the two is our local match, which is 6.25%. So quite a good leverage for us. So our expense to date for AIP 31 is 102.9, and then AIP 32 is 143.304. The gate maintenance or the committed gate card funds, that's for new gate cards. As you know, the board adopted policy last year that we don't do an annual collection on gate card renewals. We do charge them if they lose the card or it's destroyed or something of that nature. And then committed jet fuel tax, we get a nice little chunk every year or every month from the state on that. So that's trended very well. I think that's reflected in our increased fuel flow for Jet A, and then our fuel flow fees. You know, we've been trying to track that more on a monthly basis, but I think I've kept it the same just because I don't have a trend yet, and I don't want to estimate something that we're not going to be able to control. And then down at the gate card maintenance, that's just covering routine maintenance. As you know, we have a new AIP project coming up this year, which will be the perimeter fence replacement, and the gates will be also included in that. So we may not have any expenses related to that in this fiscal year. And then lastly, item 6400 is a capital projects outlay. I'll direct your attention to the detail sheet. The big project that we've done recently is we added carpet in the terminal building. As you know, that has a cement floor. And so last year the board approved, I think it was like $3,000 for windows or doors. I think our windows were the item that we put on the budget. And we elected instead to put carpet in. And it's really improved the building for acoustics for one, but it also makes it more warmer and a little bit more inviting. And Gary did all the work. We bought it from Home Depot. He did a great job. It looks great. And he trimmed it out with the Cove base recently and just really added a nice touch to it. Another couple little things we did is you recall that there was an office that passed through before you got to the manager's office. That's been cleaned out and now is set up for a conference room. The AWAS equipment's in there, and that's all been improved. it's made it much nicer to meet with people. And Gary has a setup of maintenance on the opposite side of the building. And so he's slowly but surely going in there and organizing that and improving that setup. And it's really, I think, improved our operations. So I invite you, if you haven't been there, to come by and take a look at that. But what I've added on the project here are a couple items I figure are priorities. One, if we want to continue to improve the insulation factor of that building, the windows are single pane and have been in there since that building was constructed. They're also not tempered, so I think it's a safety issue. Another item is the doors. They don't have panic bars. They're keyed locked, so if somebody comes in that door from the north side and gets trapped that for whatever reason and they can't get out, it's definitely a safety hazard. Also, those doors are not tempered, and they're not weather-stripped, so there's an issue related with that. If you visited the south parking lot, you'll know that that has not had any attention as far as the asphalt is concerned. We had weeds growing up there considerably last year, which deteriorates the sub-base to the lot. I propose that we crack seal and fog seal and restripe that parking lot this year. If we don't do any work on it, it's going to continue to deteriorate. We'll be talking about a full replacement. And when we talk about that, we're going to be wondering where the money's going to come from. So I think we'll get some additional life out of that. I want to get a PCI index on that to really get a handle on pavement condition index reading so we can get a real handle on what the issues are with that. It doesn't look like it's failing per se, but if we don't seal the cracks and rejuvenate the pavement, we will see that. The last thing I have on there for outlay is the south ramp lights. Those are, I think, high-pressure sodium and expensive to operate, but we have the opportunity to improve that, put LED in there. I got a couple quotes on that already. And we also have the opportunity to get some benefit from NV Energy by changing that out. So it relates to the amount of kilowatt hours you use.
One thing I might add about that is the electrical monthly charge for our electric on the north ramp changed significantly when we went to the LED lamps, and I think that the investment on that would be returned in a not too extended period of time.
There's essentially the budget I've covered, but I want to quickly add just a couple
of
things.
I'm sorry. Did we cover rock sales?
You know, I didn't say the word rock sales. They are listed in here as income, and they are.
I just saw, it's a sizable increase. I just thought you'd like to maybe tell us where that 65 came from.
I've lost. Oh, there it is. 5404. That's been close to the actual. But as you recall, we also, when we renewed the agreement, we upped the rock sale royalty to another like 15 cents a ton. So when we're pulling out 30 to 60,000 tons over the next year, I think the number was trending closer to I may be speaking out of school. Maybe it's 50,000 tons. But that's a sizable increase in the royalty. So we're going to be conservative with that. You know, in February they had zero rock sales, but it's obvious they couldn't get in the yard. But I think that's going to improve. And also, if you do happen to be out on Arrowhead Drive, they've been bringing in a ton of dirt. So they are going to be rehabbing that north side of the pit, for lack of a better description, here real briefly, as we discussed when we talked about the renewal agreement. So I'm really excited about that, and I think the tenants will be happy with that as well. But we may benefit from that. There was one of the sales in November was like $14,000 for the month. So that was significant. I guess it all depends on the demand in the market. But a couple things that I want to point out. One, I'm in the process of developing a rates and charges sheet. Okay, we have fees for certain things, but they're not really published in a manner that the board can vote on them annually, whether it's long-term parking, parking ramp tie-downs, all those sort of things. We should have established fees for those certain things. And there might be people who want to lease the terminal to do a facility, to have an event in. You know, our airport tenants, we're not going to charge them to do that, or these nonprofit organizations. but there might be somebody who at some point in time may want to. And so we may want to have a fee that's established for that. So I'll be presenting something for the board to review just going forward. I think it's a matter of housekeeping and cleaning up the way we manage our business. But I also want to talk about our overall view as we get into the ACIP, Airport Capital Improvement Program. We have aging equipment. We have a building that the board has invested money in to improve, but it's a short-term process. You know, as the airport grows, that's going to need to change. And we need to think about that as an organization, how we're going to replace some of this equipment. The FAA will provide a grant for a snowplow and an appropriate building to maintain that. All of our equipment sits outside. And so it's harsh on the longevity of that. That the truck we have from, we bought from Truckee, we put $2,000 in it last month. But one thing we did do while it was in the shop, we had them go through that thing with a fine tooth comb and give us a list of items to keep that going. So we want to think about how we're going to replace that type of equipment. Same with the tractor. Taking a lot of abuse over the years, sitting outside not helping it. We had some significant repairs to it last year. So we want to keep an eye on how we're going to manage that. So I think that's a part of the discussion that we'll have in our strategic planning workshop, and I think that would be appropriate for that. I don't have any budget requests for any of those items at this point in time, but I wanted to bring that to the attention of the board. And then the last item I want to bring to the attention is the augmentation for the budget that we have going forward. The items on there are the ones that were not budgeted for last year. The economic impact study, the new approach for the Centerlite work area off of Arrowhead, the instrument approach feasibility study, the strategic plan, and then I don't know if we have to really call out the utility truck repair, but I did since it was the same amount as the economic development. It really fits in our line item, but we're over budget on that a little bit, so I thought I'd call it out anyway, and we can make that adjustment when we make that report. But Chair, while that concludes my review of the budget.
You might also discuss with them, you're in the process of talking to Beth about those items, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yes. She, as you can imagine, is in the middle of tax season, so hard to get her attention right now. But we have had exchanged not only phone calls on this, but we have a commitment to follow back up together and get the proper reporting done and be prepared for the filing of the final budget.
Are there any questions? Member Rogers.
Ken, I just wanted to ask you on the capital projects, the parking lot overlay.
Yes, sir.
Is the number you've quoted there, is that based on information you've gotten from a contractor? Have you put it out there at all, or is that just your best?
I did three bids. And the one that's $8,000 is significantly lower. I've worked with that group before at the Reno Airport. So this is something that they do. They come in and they knock it out. And there's other companies that come in and go, I'm busy. I'll do it for this. And so I feel real comfortable about getting this done. And the sooner that we can get this item, I can get it scheduled. And that's imperative to get it. I want to get on the front end of the schedule, not the back end. I'd like to have that done before the open house. I think that would be significant. And one of the reasons is that prevents the weeds getting up in the middle of that right before the growth season starts.
Yeah, I thought that number was very favorable. If you can get it done for that, I think you've done a good job.
Yeah, I'll be happy.
Me too.
Any further questions? Mr. Barrett.
I'm probably going to show my ignorance here, but when you went over the carpeting of the interior going into it, you said that the authority had provided money for doors and windows or something, and you moved it over to the carpeting, and then you came back and said, we got a problem with the doors and windows.
I think the board last year, I'm sorry.
Could you elaborate on that for me?
I'm sorry, Member Barrett. I think I did confuse that issue. I believe last year when they were talking about putting money into the terminal building, it was identified to do the windows. Instead, we elected to do the carpet. It was a similar dollar amount, but I thought it was a better use of our money. One of the things we did is we went out and got bids on commercial replacement of both the doors and the windows, and it was a similar thing. It was like, I'll do it for that, and it was way above the number that we were interested in. So Gary and I went to Home Depot, had them quote the doors and windows, and he is of sufficient capability to do that. And I'll get into my non-uniform and go out there and help him. But I think we can save the airport significant money by not going that route. The windows itself, the quote was like $25,000, and the doors were equally ridiculous. You know, like $7,000-$8,000 a piece.
We just bought some residential doors, so I know what you're talking about. I just was confused by that.
Yeah, that's my fault. I apologize.
Not a problem. I just wanted to clarify it in my own mind.
Any other questions? Seeing none and no public comment available since there's no one here, I would entertain a motion to approve the draft tentative budget for the 19-20 period with and authorize the staff to complete the final tentative budget draft for submission to the Nevada Department of Taxation by April 15th, 2019.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Mr. Harris. I got that right? Okay. And second by Member Barrett. Any discussion on the motion? Mr. Harvey.
Yeah, my only comment is this is great. Thank you. And I think the point is that obviously we get two more shots at reviewing it. So this is the tentative, but I think it was a great job. Ken, you did. And obviously it helped us a lot having that extra money that normally we would be like, how are we going to pay for that, extra windows? And this was a nice year. It's a nice, I think it looks like next year would even be a little better when it comes to the sales and the new leases. And so we're on a great path and appreciate that, Ken.
Any further discussion on the motion? None heard. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, nay. None heard. Motion carries. We'll take a 10-minute recess.
What program is this in?
I think that's Acrobat.
Okay, because I don't see any function
at this rate.
Just
anymore.
I should
go there.
Ready?
Okay, sure.
It's now 7:10. I would like to bring the meeting back to order. Moving on to item F2 for discussion and possible action, review proposed 2019 through 24 Airport Capital Improvement Plan. Mr. Mohn.
Thank you, Chair Law. I want to begin by saying that, as you know, we're in a transition between Atkins and our new planner engineers, Armstrong Consultants and Kaufman. As you also may know that, or you do know, is that Kaufman's been working on the master plan as a subcontractor to Atkins. And so they have a tremendous amount of knowledge on the airport as part of that master planning process. Armstrong is new to our airport, but not new to Northern Nevada, nor are they new to the process that we're just going through. And so we did a conference call with the ADO recently where we walked through the current ACIP. And just to cover all the bases for everybody here, this is an annual process for the organization with a 5-year lookout. And then this becomes, in essence, part of the regional airport plans for upgrades and capital projects. And then the regional plan gets melded with the other 9 regions and becomes a national plan. So we're a piece in that cog. And so when they look at our projects, they look at it from that scope. One, what's viable, and two, what's most beneficial for the airport at this present time. So I draw your attention to the map, not only on the screen, we've been able to fill it up a little bit, maybe that'll help. And then also you have a copy of it, and I believe they're the table is also there. I think it's also on this page right here. Here we go. And so the project for the replacing the perimeter fence, as you know, on the north end along Lockheed and Taxiway Charlie, which is the northwest or southwest northwest taxiway at the top of the screen, and then Bravo is the south taxiway next to the green area. And the cattle fence is the area in blue along Charlie and along Bravo. And so the rest of the airport has chain link. So you see the blue area down towards Bowers Lane and Arrowhead to the bottom right of the screen, and then you'll see a blue line along the College Parkway, Gonai area to the left of the screen. Those areas to the left and the right are getting three-stranded barbed wire on the top of existing chain link, so that's not going to change. But the areas to the top and the right of the screen by the green area are getting new fencing. So part of the project, this was on the ACIP last year with Atkins and was coming up. But however, with the changeover, we didn't get a design or any of the environmental work done. According to the ADO, all the environmental work is supposed to be in the ADO office by November 1 to be considered for this next grant year. So we were behind the eight ball on this. And Kaufman, with their contacts at the ADO, said, hey, look, help us work through this part. And the Western Pacific area has not been very, the Phoenix ADO has not been kind in the past on the environmental. They've been pretty hard-nosed on that. But what they did say to us is that, hey, look, we want to open bids by May 1, so you guys got to get cracking on this. So we, through chair law, approved a purchase request or a contract agreement with Kaufman to get the environmental done. And part of the environmental included a cultural survey. And so they come out to this area and they're looking for arrowheads and maybe some wagon wheel tracks from the Donner Party or something of that nature. And they just did that review last week, and they didn't find any of that stuff. So we're going to get a clean report, and it should get what they call a categorical exclusion. So the environmental should not be an issue for us. It should get done and get moving on. And then the other piece that we had to get completed was Armstrong presented us with their engineer's estimate for the initial phase. And when that contract exceeds $100,000, you got to get an independent fee estimate. So we executed an agreement with a firm called Root Associates out of Colorado to do an independent fee estimate of Armstrong's quote. And so that is also in process. So the next step is that we send the what they call record of negotiation to the ADO's office. They review it, and then they, if that's approved, we execute a contract to get that work going. So I anticipate Armstrong to be out here in the next week to do a site walk of the entire area and to get cranking on the design aspect. So the final piece of this is that we'll have chain link that goes around the entire part of the airport, so we'll be much more secure than we currently are, and it'll also prevent wildlife from straying onto the airport. And if anybody, as you know, anybody who wants to get on will figure out a way to get on, but it should keep the most people out of the airfield. There's been an occasion where somebody is straying through there, but as to the far right of the screen where you see the blue line along Arrowhead, as you know, we moved the approach to the truck entrance and exit onto that area. And right now that's just a cattle gate, so anybody could crawl under or walk over that pretty easily. That'll be replaced with a real perimeter gate. So all of that is going to improve the airport tremendously as far as security is concerned. Now, going forward in the future, that's a big issue for the airport, not just for the tenants and the people who park airplanes on the field, but if we ever went to, let's say for the lack of a better description, we started driving commercial activity, flight activity, and we hit the number of which is 10,000 employments a year, and we need to go to Part 139 in that aspect, we would have the fencing in place for that. So it wouldn't be an item we'd have to check off in the future. So it kind of serves two purposes. One, security. Two, it would help us improve and be in a position for that. Not saying that's happened or likely to happen in the near future. So with that being said, I'm going to go down the list of priorities. I'm going to go back to the table. And so as you see at the top of the page, 19 is 10,175 linear feet of fence. The federal funds is just over 635,000, of which our local match about 42.5. for a total cost of about $680,000 for the project. And that'll include new gates, and we're also going to get a access gate. Currently have a perimeter gate next to the firehouse, and they have to get out with their truck with a key, open a lock, and then slide the gate open. We're going to have a electronic gate there, so they'll have quicker access to the airfield. The priorities, now I'm going to jump around just a little bit instead of going down them in sequence, and I'm going to talk about the nighttime instrument approach feasibility study. One of the things that we talked about when we approved that study was that allow us to get it on the rolled into our airport capital improvement program. Well, it is. It's way down at the bottom, and I'll tell you why it's at the bottom. We have to get this approach approved by the FAA first. The ADO is not going to consider any funding for anything until that happens. So it's on there. We're going to keep it on there, and it's also going to be on our master plan. So when you look at this map here, that blue cross you see to the right hand of the screen represents the approach lighting system. That's the MALSAT. The lead-in lights are not on here, but they're going to be in our ALP. So I met with Atkins this morning. We talked about that fact directly and how that's going to be displayed and depicted. So I don't want the members of the board to be confused that that's not part of our future funding and our capital improvement plan. So with that in mind,
question at this point,
Member Bear. Please.
Is at the juncture where we got approval, if we did, from the FAA, then can it be moved up? Can we make changes?
Exactly. That's a great question.
That's right.
And that's the beauty of getting to review this plan every year, and that we have the opportunity to make adjustments to it. Yeah, we're giving them a five-year lookout, and they're going to look at these, and they're going to rank them on the national ranking system. And so pavement always gets the highest ranking. It's like in the 70s. And then on a scale of 1 to 100. And then things like safety and security, all those are higher ranks. But when you get into land acquisition, it falls way down to the bottom. And I'm going to cover that here in a minute as well. Go ahead.
Quick question. There's quite a nice ratio between the federal funds and the local funds. How does that, being new to this, how does that work?
Well, the beauty of this is that the federal law establishes that your local match is fixed at 6.25%. So you can leverage a lot of money for that small amount of contribution. But, you know, we have grant assurances, which are like 32 of them, I think. And those grant assurances cover a variety of topics on how we operate our airport. And one of those is being as self-sustaining as possible. That's why, you know, we charge fees for various activities just to manage that, whether it's fuel flow, land leases, all that sort of thing. So there's always a tie with the money. And so we're committed. Anytime we accept federal funds, we're committed for like 20 years where we pay it back. And there are a couple instances in the history where people went around that. One is Santa Monica Airport, where they're trying to get rid of the airport. And they're like, yeah, you owe us some money. If you're going to do that. And the other one was Migs Field, where in Chicago, where Mayor Daley sent out the bulldozers in the middle of the night and plowed up parts of the runway and didn't go over well. But, you know, Chicago has its own way of doing business. So I actually heard a funny story was that they're actually considering bringing Migs Field back. So we'll see how that works out. So I hope that answers your question. Free is not always free. It's not always a deal, depending how you look at it.
I can tell you one thing, that being involved with the legislature over the years, people get ecstatic in the building when they have a 50% match. We don't have a 50% match. We have a 6% match. And so Jeff Fontaine, who used to be the head of NDOT, is the lobbyist for the aircraft organization locally, and he has already met with the head of the Ways and Means Committee to describe what would happen if they were to allocate $1 million into the Nevada Airport Fund. And that's big. It is really big. And with the surplus in the budget this year, it's possible that that will happen. It's certainly not cut in stone or anything, but at least the conversation's going on and it seems to be favorably received.
And one of the points that Chair Law is making is that That aviation trust fund at the state level would be to assist local airports with that match. Now, some of these smaller ports in Nevada, you know, that's the difference between getting a grant and not getting a grant. So fortunately, we're not in that position because of the work the board has done on improving our financial position. So we're benefiting right now from that. And one of the big things for us as an organization is to manage the grant properly and submit grant requests for fund or payments and drawdowns. And biggest thing you hear from the FAA at these conferences are grant management. And I chase Chair Law and Treasurer Harvey around town to get their signatures as soon as I can on these grant requests just for that reason, to keep the money flowing and keep the drawdown. And so that gives us a really high grade on grant management. And that's the difference sometimes of getting money and not getting money, is managing our grant properly. So we moved up the snow equipment issue. As you know, we have an agreement, a shirt-tail agreement with NDOT, where they've given us a plow, for lack of a better description, and they manage the maintenance on that. And that came into play twice in the last year, this winter, real imperatively. And that was, we had two failures on the vehicle. One morning it wouldn't start. They had a guy out there within 2 hours and got it running. And the other time we had a line that broke on the fuel tank and actually had a small fuel spill. And they had somebody out the next day to fix it. So that was huge. One, we don't have the parts and the tools to do that. And two, it's sitting outside on the ramp and, you know, there was 6 inches of snow on the ground at the time. So it created a little bit of a drama for us. But so this grant request, the FAA will not fund a plow unless you have a building to put it in, which is so smart. And so we've added that to our grant request to move that up and try to get that done. Now, the location of where that goes at this point in time is not really a big discussion. There's probably something to be carried out down the road, but that should rank fairly high, and our ability to maybe get that the next year would be big. Going down the relocate the AWOS, that's part of where the snowplow issue comes in, but it's also part of the performance of the AWOS system. You can't have a building within 500 feet of the antenna that's taller than the antenna, and the antenna is 30 feet. So a hangar, it's not hard to get above 30 feet in a corporate hangar. And the location it at is that we can't control what gets built on the other side of the roadway. So it's important to relocate that. And we've looked at a couple different areas with the engineer about that. It's not cheap. It would be an expensive proposition, but it would allow us to put the snow removal equipment building down by where the blockhouse is, where the emergency or where the lighting equipment is, and where the emergency generator will go in the future, and keep all that stuff in one area. So that looks like a really positive thing for us. So in 1 year, they would design the building for the snow equipment, and then the following year, they would build it and acquire the equipment. And the reason that it's split up like that is because we get what they call entitlement money, which is part of our grant pool. Entitlement money is $150,000 a year. And then the other piece of that is either discretionary funding or some other local type match. So there's three pools of money to draw from, or state apportionment, I'm sorry. And I'll give you a great example. What's going to impact the state of Nevada is that Reno-Stead got a new runway last year. That was $20 million. The state apportionment is $43 million. Reno Tahoe is going to get a new runway next year, and that's $60 million. So that's impacting all that money that goes to the rest of the airports in the state. So that's why you're going to see some of this stuff split up like that. So we don't get in a situation where we can't get grant money to get part of this stuff done. So it's the kind of the strategy to that whole process.
Ken?
Yes, ma'am.
I do have one question. In 2020 on this chart, it shows the
emergency generator.
Yeah, well, it shows the emergency generator and the snow equipment building. Then down under 2021, it says construct snow removal equipment building, but it doesn't say anything about the generator. I take it those two are tied together.
Well, this is kind of a tricky thing, too, because They're not going to improve a generator until we have the nighttime approach and the need for it. Because their thought right now is, okay, what's your history of a power outage? You don't have one? Okay, so what do you need one for? So this kind of tied together, and the idea is that if we get this on their radar, we get the incident approach approved, it moves them both up. We could drop it all the way down, but then we're going to get into a funding type issue. So there was some approach to that. They're going to be co-located in the same area. So that was the thinking behind that in our discussion with the ADO.
So what you're doing is front loading the planning part of it.
Right.
In the off chance that we'll get it.
Get the funding, correct.
And then move it up to install. Okay.
That's correct.
Thank you.
The land acquisition piece is listed in 2022. We already applied for that part of the supplemental grant, and that was that $1 billion grant that was approved by the administration. And it was originally intended for rural airports. And so they got to a certain point in the funding process where they opened it up to everybody else. And so in this discussion with the through-the-fence issue with that land, we put in a request for that grant. I don't know what the possibility is. That's really low down on low on the priority list. If we get it through the supplemental, it's a moot point. This can come off. But we wanted to keep it in there so that if we don't get the supplemental, that we're still identifying that as an issue. The FAA, as you know, would like us to exterminate through the fence rights on that. But whether or not they're going to fund it is another question. So we've stepped through that process. We're not sure where that really is lying at the moment. And obviously when we look at this again next year, we'll have a better idea of where we are in that process. But as you know, pavement is important, and that could move up where we have the rehab for the two aprons, north and south apron, but also runway 9 and 27. So that may end up being moved up earlier because it gets a higher score on the grant funding process. And that's where we really want to make sure that our facilities are in top shape. Then the last one you see down here, construct the hangar row. You can probably see this from the previous page. Oops. That's those purple stripes up there. That's really not a practical approach to this at this time. It's going to be identified in our master plan. It will probably not look anything like that. The idea is that, yeah, maybe we will do some design work when we get down to 2024 on that. Master plan will have better alternatives than what that's depicting. So don't think that that means anything more than purple lines on the page. That's really all it is at this juncture. But that's in there. And also the storm drain construction project, which I'd like to see done sooner, is along Taxiway Charlie. So we're going to replace all that fence. And you got an area in there that erodes because all that water comes down off of Lockheed and the properties to the north into that. And that would be nice to have that done just for maintaining the infrastructure and not having to manage riprap and that sort of thing. And then lastly is the approach lighting and design. And as I said, lean engineering, the next step with that is to start running this through the FAA ringer. And I was involved with the Nevada Airports conference coming up, and we have Lean Engineering coming out to present at that. And he's also bringing one of the folks from Sacramento that is in this FAA office, all-weather department, about reviewing that approach, going to be present at the conference and hear the presentation as well. They've already had some discussions, but early next month we're going to have begin really the initial level of those. Ultimately, the organization wants the FAA to take this project on. And there's two reasons for that. One is they'll fund it. And two, they'll maintain it. If we get it, we're going to have to maintain it, which means there's a cost to that. And not saying we won't be able to figure that out or how that shakes out in the future, but if the FAA already has people at the Reno Tech office that maintain remote sites, repeater sites for radios, the VORs at Mustang and Squaw Valley, the ILS instead, they're equipped to do that. And that's who we really want to buy into this project. So with all that being said, that may not even be a factor in our capital improvement program. So we're going to, we'll look at that as this process moves along. And obviously, you know, the board will be kept apprised of the progress of that. So with that, Madam Chair, I'm ready to entertain any questions.
Thank you. Any questions on the capital improvement plan?
Just a comment.
Mr. Rogers.
All right, Ken, bear with me because I've been thinking about this without having any experience asking the FAA for money. It just pains me to watch us build a beautiful fence in front of a piece of property that we're hoping to acquire. Does that pain you also?
Well, I would have loved to have been able to include the fence around the property, but you could, if we do acquire that, that fence material could probably be relocated to surround the rest of that property. You know, there's a cost to that, obviously, but.
Okay, I would love to, I'm hoping that there's not, it's not 100% waste, right, that we can, that we can relocate that fence if we do end up acquiring that property. But then my other thought is, I'm an impatient fella. I'm wondering why, the work relative to the building for the snow plow and the acquiring of snow removal equipment, why can't that move up?
Well, that's when I was talking about the funding piece and our airport entitlement money versus what's available in the state apportionment and how that gets ranked. So with the discussion with the ADO, you'll see that that 2020 budget is just about the same amount of dollars as our annual entitlement, which is $150,000. So to make those work money-wise, it was suggested that we separate those two items.
Okay, so then my thoughts go towards, isn't there a building on the property that we could refurbish and turn into a snowplow store, snowplow coverage building for less money than building a brand new one?
We actually looked at that, but there's two things that go on. One, we looked at a hangar. That Chair Law used to occupy, and we ran it by the ADO, and they looked at us and said, no. They said, even though the snowplow is used to maintain the airport service, it's not considered aeronautical use, and you should be looking around the outside of the airport to find a suitable storage facility. And, you know, our thought has been, you know what, we're going to replace this anyway, so let's not put more into it than we have to at this point in time. That snow plow is not going to get any more life out of it if we put it in a building anytime soon. Because when we ended up with it, it was at its end of life as far as NDOT was concerned. So no offense to that. I appreciate that plow very much. Trust me.
Well, I don't see member Golden chomping at the bit to lease you in a building. So I'm pretty sure there's probably not.
Yeah, he's got aeronautical. Aeronautical use for that. Right. Yeah. And we've actually, and I'll let a little bit of the cat out of the bag. Gary and I have been working on our own wish list. And one of the things we've been researching is how do we build our own building? And so we looked at a sprung structure and a pad, and we can probably do it for about $200,000. So if our priorities change where the approach lighting system moves up, the FAA hasn't bought it and it's going to be on us to do it, we're going to figure out how to make something like this happen.
You know, I can understand the carpet and even the glass, but please, let's not build a building. You guys are great, but come on.
It's our wish list.
So, all right. So then my next thing I'd like to ask is, is it required that we only ask for money for things that don't already exist? I mean, could we buy some snow removal equipment if we absolutely need it using our own money that we're earning interest on, which is great. But we could also invest it in one or more of these projects if we wanted to push it up and then ask the FAA for money for that project. Is that doable?
Well, and that was one of the things I mentioned earlier when we were talking about the budget. When we get into our strategic plan, there's some things like this that we can cover and set our priorities on replacing equipment and how we're going to manage that. So this is separate from that discussion in the manner that we can still do those things. If we as an organization decide that's our priority and where we want to put our money, or we can at the same time need to make the plan for the FAA revenue grants to make these things happen and how we prioritize those.
Well, my question was, can we do a project, loan ourselves the money, and then go ask the FAA for that money?
Yeah, this is Steve Takis, Airport Council. The general answer is no. There are very few things that the FAA will let us fund through the FAA in arrears, you know, or and get reimbursed for. A land acquisition is one of them, but there are very few projects they will otherwise allow us to do and then allow us to get recovery for them later. And most of the projects, well, I think almost everything on this list fits into that category. So
that's really interesting that the land is an exception, but land is low on a priority list.
Yeah, yeah.
Member Harvey.
Just a point, and I have dealt with this a lot through the RTA when I sat on that board 8 years, and I'll say this is the normal process I've heard and used to. Working through trying to get priorities up, you know, hoping we get that piece of equipment next year. Now, of course, theirs was much bigger, but this is exactly, you're doing exactly a great job of, this is what I'm used to. I haven't seen this in a long time. Mr. Takis, have you seen this in a long time, this process? It seems to me that this is actually a great way for us to see it, do it, and understand the priorities and the process of how this works, and strategery. I appreciate that. Strategery, yeah.
Yeah, no, I have to say, this is the best ACIP presentation that I've seen in all the years I've been involved with the Airport Authority. Ken's just done a great job of dissecting it. Same thing is true of the budget presentation he did. We're just really fortunate to have Ken. And I wanted to mention when we were talking about the budget, he's got the legal fees going down, and I totally think that's true and correct because he's doing a lot of the things that I had to do before, not because they were necessarily legal, but because they weren't getting done and they were important. And so, this is tremendous. I'm sorry I missed part of it. I was talking to LCB, trying to get our bill out. We're still scheduled to get it out tomorrow. And I promised I would call her after the meeting to finish our discussion. But this has been just tremendous. This is the process.
Any further questions, Mr. Moen, on this item? Seeing none, and there being no public comment, I would accept a motion to approve the Airport Improvement Program for 2019 through 24 as drafted by Armstrong Consultants and direct staff to submit the Carson City Airport Authority Improvement Plan to the Phoenix ADO for inclusion in the Regional Airport Improvement Program. Do I have a motion? I have a motion by Member Harvey, a second by Member Barrett. Any discussion on the motion? None heard. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. None heard. Motion carried.
Thanks.
Moving on to item F3 for discussion and possible action. To provide an update on the strategic plan surveys and set a date for strategic plan workshop. Mr. Moen.
Thank you. Just give me one moment to kind of get my piles in order here. Thank you, Chair. Well, as you guys know, we approved the strategic planning process. We signed a contract in November with Linda Ritter Consulting to help develop the process and a plan for us. And then in the last board meeting, we approved the survey and the method of delivering that and gathering information. The survey closed on the 19th. I think the links are still up, but the idea is that we want to start pulling data together now. From what I understand, we had 130 businesses or 130 community members respond, and we had a super response out of the pilot base. And one of the ways we distribute that was not only to our gate card email list, but I sent it to airport managers in the region and asked them to distribute it to their users. Because obviously, if you fly out of Minden or you fly out of Truckee, you also use probably fly to the Carson City Airport. Now, whether or not they all did that, I don't know. But I did make that request of them. But I think some of our returns will show that we got a really good response rate on that. Also, we asked the chamber to distribute to the Carson City business community, but then we also went around door to door in the North industrial area and got business cards from every business out there that I thought played a role in the industrial community out there. There's a lot of smaller, some of the strip mall type businesses out there, and I just, out of sheer time, I didn't focus on those. I focused more on the bigger groups, and I sent out about a 45 different business mailing list, and it was everybody along Arrowhead for sure, that and Lockheed, and then I drifted up into the north part, and I found some fascinating businesses out there. It was just unbelievable. And so I think I might be able to pull some of those people into our open house. So I think it was a double duty on that. But we're going to start breaking down the data. That's our next step in that. Lynn Ritter advised that we have a lot of comments, which are great. You know, we're going to find out whether good, bad, or indifferent. A funny story is I walked in one machine shop and a guy looked at me and said, "You don't want me to answer that question." I said, "Oh yeah, good, bad, or indifferent." He goes, "No, it's all bad." And he said, and I said, "Well, okay, your choice." I tell it out there. His thing was, "Oh, it's a private playground for rich people and their planes." So I've heard that one. So yeah, I'm sure everybody had heard that one before. So with that being said, the next big piece for us is to set a workshop date, because I know the members of the board want to start weighing in on this whole process, and so this is the time to do that. And so I don't know if we're going to be able to set a date today, but we want to vote on setting a date. I think Mr. Takis can direct us in that. We'll have to notice that as a public meeting, and so we'll still have the same ramifications posted 3 days prior and have an agenda and that sort of thing. But maybe we'll have a turnout to the workshop that's similar to this evening, and we'll be able to really focus on our business at hand. But that's going to allow us to process, set our priorities, and really get down into the nitty-gritty of the strategic plan. Also, this trending right along is the follow-up on the master plan. So I think the timing is really good on this, and I hope that I can implore the board to get us a quorum that we can meet. And I want to say it may take as much as, you know, a full day to do. And I know that's going to be really tough to do. So we may have to work outside the box on that. But if we split it into two sessions, you know, that maybe that's something the board should talk amongst themselves. But, you know, I'm available. We'll make myself available, as will Linda Ritter. And I'm choosing an offsite location. I thought at first about doing it in the terminal building, but I think there may be some value, because if people come in and out of the terminal, it could be disruptive to the discussions and deliberations. So I'm looking at an offsite location. The Hampton Inn off of North Carson Street has offered us their boardroom, and so or their meeting room, and I thought that might be a nice location to do that. I don't know how that impacts us on the public meeting side. I don't think we need minutes from a workshop, if I'm not mistaken, but I'll allow Mr. Takis to weigh in on the detail.
So if the entire board is there and the entire board is deliberating, we need to treat it much like we treat these meetings. We have to make access available to the public. We have to keep a record of the minutes of the meeting, and we got to follow the open meeting law. And so if we do it at an off-site location, we need to make sure it's an off-site location where the public still has the ability to come listen. And they may not have much of an opportunity to participate due to the nature of the meeting, but you have to allow them public comment, and you've got to allow them access.
Okay. So maybe here is the better location then.
And it wouldn't necessarily have to be in this room. I mean, this is a good room, but if we can't get this room for that time period, another room in this building is certainly available to us.
Just a comment on the structure of the meeting or meetings. My experience and my research into meeting management tells me that after 2 hours, nothing much creative happens, and even in terms of the ability of someone's memory to hold what was and retain what was said, it just goes down dramatically. So the idea of a day-long meeting, I would I would hope that we don't do that. And the other thing is when you're structuring meetings, I mean, 3 hours is really the outside in terms of expecting anything of use to come out of people's brains. So I would, I'd schedule around that. And then the other thing that really can help in terms of making those 2 hours where the brains do function useful is really rich pre-reading material. And I know you'll feed us a lot of information, but one of the keys to the richness is that there not be so much that everybody doesn't read it. So it's finding the right amount. But the other thing is lots of pictures and not so many words. Okay. So that's the other thing. Like today when you, this map in terms of my ability to absorb what you're talking about is just hugely helpful. And the more things like this that go into the pre-read and the less like this that goes into pre-read, the better off we'll be, primed to think about what needs to happen.
Thank you.
The other thing I would mention is that if Linda Ritter can condense the responses down to like responses and give us a percentage and that sort of thing, that's usually really helpful as well. Member Golden.
Is there any reason that we as an airport authority couldn't see the results of the surveys in some sort of report before we have a workshop? I think that would be very valuable.
I think that's the intent. Yes.
Member Barrett.
Just going back to the location, a couple of ideas. If we don't hold it in this building, the Ormsby Room at the Sheriff's Law Enforcement behind the courthouse is a city, and it's got a good large area there, and Adams Hub, which the city now rents from the neighbors' people. So those are a couple of other possibilities.
Okay.
Any other questions, Mr. Mullen? Okay, hearing none, I would accept a motion to approve the proposed strategic planning workshop with Linda Ritter with a date, time, and location to be determined by our airport manager to facilitate the Carson City Airport Authority's strategic planning process with a budget not to exceed $250. I might amend that to approximately $400 in case we have to have two meetings. So I would use the $400 figure in that. And do I have a motion to do that?
I move.
Second. I'd like to discuss it.
A discussion on the motion.
Yeah, I would like a ballpark lookout as to when what months you're talking about, what you're hoping to do.
I think our objective is to do it here in April.
Okay.
So thank the you. First part would be preferable, so that we can get this moving and have the. I think our goal was to have a plan out by May. I don't want to say that that's hard and fast, but I think the objective is to keep this moving, and that especially that we're ready to really get this roll this out basically even before the fiscal year, but at least by the fiscal year.
I think that's important to keep the information that's gathered current.
Yeah. That means that I probably should let you know that I will be gone for a long weekend, and second weekend, I think, is in April. And, of course,
I'll send out a suggestion of, like, 3 or 4 dates, and we'll shoot for that 2-hour window, a 3-hour window, and if we can't finish it on that time, we'll just add another meeting and keep it moving. And in between those, we can flow information and data. And so the beautiful thing about the method we'd use, the SurveyMonkey, allows us to gather reports on that. And so we'll have not just statistics on responses, but the type of responses. So I think you're going to find that was a really good move on our part to utilize that tool.
Yeah, and, regarding that, I mean, the Survey Monkey, the data. What's really helpful when you're using that is to really identify themes.
Right.
Okay. And think of the theme as a theme can have four or five different topics that kind of tie into it, but the overall theme. And then if you can, you know, kind of restrict the number of themes that you're dealing with, and rather than getting down into the, you know, well, three people said, you know, they'd right. like a restaurant,
right?
You know, it, but the bigger picture. I mean, that's the only, that's really the only way strategy works is at the theme level. So
right,
okay,
Mr. Rogers.
I'm going to suggest that we try to schedule two meetings.
Okay.
And then we can certainly avoid the second one if we happen to get everything done that we wanted done in the first one. But let's just start out scheduling two meetings back to back. And then I'd also like to say that I will be gone for 2 weeks starting the 25th of April. So I'm all for the early in April concept okay. as well.
Member Harris, shall we amend the motion to have to start out with the two meetings and then abandon one if we get it all done? I doubt we will.
Yes, we shall amend it.
All right. Mr. Barrett?
Yeah, and I don't disagree with what Bradley has said about the time invested, but I do think if you're going to get it done one, it might take 3 hours. And I would suggest 90 minutes with a half-hour break and then 90 minutes, taking up a morning or afternoon that way, which means you got to block out more time. But at the same time, that length of time with the break, people come back a little refreshed.
And and we'll have a lunch break in that. That's my thought. You know, that's part of the budget aspect, have refreshments and include a meal. So I think that's great advice.
Any further comments? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, nay. Motion carried. Moving on to item F4 for discussion and possible action, approve a contract between the State of Nevada Deferred Compensation Program and the Carson City Airport Authority to manage deferred compensation on behalf of the CCAA employees. Mr. Mullen.
Thank you. This is something I've had my eye on since I first came down here. I was at the Reno Tahoe Airport Authority. I was a member of the Deferred Comp Program, or a participant, I should say, and when I first came down here, I reached out to the vendor about trying to establish that, and I didn't get very good favorable response from it at the time, and it's probably because he thought, well, I had two people. Yeah, I got other things to do. So my tenacity, I just didn't let go of it, and I finally found the right person to speak with at the deferred comp program, and they were like, oh, yeah, piece of cake. We'll get this done right away, you know, and so they sent me the paperwork. I filled out the app. They got it on their board. They passed. They approved us as a member. And the beautiful thing about this is that it's a benefit to the employees, but it really doesn't cost anything to the airport authority. There's a minuscule cost for the payroll processor to upload the information. And the quote I got from them is somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 bucks a pay period. So I think that's not very significant, like 260 bucks a year to do that. But the funds come from the employees, and there's no contribution or match or anything of that nature. So it just allows the employees to defer income tax-free and grow in the market. So that's all the only comment I really have about that.
Any questions, Mr. Mullen, on this item? None seen. No public comment on this item. I would entertain a motion to approve the Deferred Compensation Program contract between Carson City Airport Authority and the State of Nevada Public Employees Deferred Compensation Committee. Mr. Barrett has moved. Mr. Rogers has seconded. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, nay. None heard. Passed. We will now proceed to item G, the Airport Engineer's Report.
In your packet, you have a report from Armstrong, mostly bullet points to keep them with themes. The schedule is kind of what we're looking at is being able to open for the perimeter fence project, the tentative bids by early May and get the grant awarded. So I think we can have this done before the end of the fiscal year, and it'll get built sometime after the fiscal year. The FAA has the money. They want us to have the money, and we want to take it. So I think we're all on the same page there. But if there's no comments on that, I think we covered a lot of this in detail in the ACIP discussion.
Moving on to the airport manager's report, Mr. Mullen.
Thank you. And I just got a couple of quick things at the top. The fuel flow was hampered mostly by weather in February. Member Golden had quite a task of getting his new equipment installed, and supply chain, logistics, weather, all that sort of stuff played into it. But the fuel flows were down for the month, but I don't think was unexpected with the type of season that we had. But we did have some really great demand last Friday and Saturday. I mean, it was hopping out there, including our attorney was getting some practices in on his landing and takeoff, since he probably hadn't gotten the experience as many as he'd like. also, the AIP 32 project, as you recall, they had to do a seasonal shutdown on that last year, and I was a stickler about them putting a date on the calendar, and my gosh, we are tentatively scheduled for that date, which is May 5th. They want to be able to get it done in two phases. We're going to have a pre-con meeting on April 23rd, and so I was really pleased with their response to be able to keep their word on that and actually like be their first project. This is going to be weather dependent. If we have a late spring and the temperatures aren't there, we're going to have to push it. But at least we'll be pushing somebody else's schedule one direction, and we'll still be at the front of the line. So I'm really pleased with that. And the board also directed me to work with Fire Marshal Dave Rubin and the tenant base about this discussion on the emergency response hangar addressing and numbering convention. I gave this a lot of thought, and as well as Dave Rubin and I, and we worked together hard on putting this project together. One of the things that we really were critical in our thinking was that this meeting is really between the airport and the leaseholders. The people who rent hangars, this is not really their issue, and so we didn't want to confuse the issue with what the was in front of us. And the issue is that we're going to renumber and readdress hangars, and those are only impacted by those who hold a lease. So we've scheduled a meeting on Monday, the 25th at 5 p.m. I have sent out several emails about RSVPing and confirming people who are coming. And I'm down to, out of the 12 or, oh, gosh, let me think. I want to say it's 15 leaseholders. We've got three that haven't responded. But everybody else has said, hey, the ones who said that they can't come, they're going, I'm fine with whatever you come up with. So we have buy-in, which was the most important part. And I'll let you know how that proceeds. I'll send out an email and let you know what the result of that meeting was. I went ahead and got some quotes on what the signage costs will look like. And then we're going to run by the naming and numbering convention with the leaseholders at that date. I don't anticipate pitchforks at this point, but we'll see. We'll see. Finally, I'm going to give you my state of the airport, and I think I covered a lot of this just in the budget process. I think the airport's position is very strong at this point in time. We have a good reputation in the community, as was pointed out by Professor Harris when he did the economic impact study, and I think it bears out in the conversations that I have with our tenant base and our other users, and I think the board has a lot of experience on the airfield, and I think they would concur that we have quality facilities, we're fiscally sound, and I think that the airport is a thriving community, and I believe with the current economic conditions that we should see some uptick in activity in that. I had tracking, since I've gotten here, inquiries about new hangars or about hangar space. Let me say that. This contrasts greatly with what is going on at Reno. And I'm intimately familiar with the aspect up there. They took over 100 hangars through reversion, and that didn't go well. And they are still fighting that battle. As a matter of fact, they just completed a rent study, and I went to that meeting, as the user committee meeting, and just listened and tried to take the pulse of what was going on, and they're still fighting it. They are not done. They are that was not definitive enough for that user group, and they're continuing to battle on whatever the front is about the ownership. So I have to say I'm pleased that we don't own hangars. I'm pleased that we lease them to groups that that manage that process, or they're individually owned. And one of the questions I had at one of the meetings was with a guy who owns several hangars out of State Airport. And there are members from the user committee at Reno arguing about what the rate is. And I looked at the guy who owns the hangar and I said, so when somebody comes to you and you tell them what the rate of the hangar is and they don't like it, what do? You go, I move on. Because his is a market-based rent. What a willing tenant will pay a willing landlord, and no more and no less. And so I think that that's a situation that we're not involved in. But what it does tell me from my experience is that we have people who are looking for hangar space on the Carson City Airport. And we did have a new tenant that rolled in here in the last month. It's a Challenger jet, which is a aircraft in the neighborhood of $25 million and will add to our tax base, and not to mention our fuel flowage fee. And we're very pleased to have that new occupant on our airport. And we have several people that are looking for the smaller hangar facilities. I've directed a lot of people towards Sierra Skyways and their project. As that's finishing up, they should start pouring concrete and asphalt here in the next month or so. So the demand is there. And what that looks like for future RFPs or for vacant property, you know, we're going to find out in the next year or so. And that's maybe something as a group we consider doing, is going out to market. And so as we work through our strategic plan, that's going to help give us some direction on that. I'm not going to read this report for you. I don't want to belabor it. I took some time to try to cover some of the high points. Obviously, there's things in there that I've either slipped my own mind or I don't deem them significant, but I'm trying to be involved in the aviation community as well as the general community, and that includes the various conferences that you send me to in those groups. That puts us at a seat at the table, and I volunteered to sit on the GA Airports Committee with the AAAE and keep on abreast of the conversations that are impacting general aviation airports, and what are the upcoming regulations and rules that are coming out from the FAA and how they're impacting us. And I think that's critical to be on the edge of that. And I think it's worth the time and effort that goes into those aspects. The Nevada Airports Association conference starts tomorrow through and Friday. And I was heavily involved in the planning part of that with basically it came out of I saw a need and I felt I could be a contributor in that. I directed Lean Engineering to participate. I've got some of our airport tenants to help sponsor it. Sterling Air provided some funds, as did ClickBond. There's a couple more, I think. Oh, All Weather, through who we got our AWAS from. I volunteered to help participate in the presentation. So I'm going to present about the economic impact study, but I'm also going to tie that into a strategic plan that we're working on. And I think it's critical for us, for people in the state, to know what Carson City Airport's doing and how we're trying to be proactive in the community. And maybe that helps the rest of the airports too, because a strong aviation group in this entire state is more important than one strong player. And so I've likened this to trying to create a 21st century solution to a 19th century problem, which is transporting people across rural and vast areas. And part of that is I'm sitting on the committee, the transportation committee with NDOT, and being involved in those type of discussions. And that's how we're facilitating discussions on this aviation trust fund and the importance of getting people off highways. As you know, 1 mile of highway will take you 1 mile, But 1 mile of runway will take you anywhere within the National Airspace System and beyond. And so that's a critical piece for MDOT to hear over and over. And how do we reiterate that message to the legislature that it's not just a place for rich people to play with their toys? It is critical. And in Nevada, a rural state like Nevada, this is critical. Doctors, dentists, they fly to these rural communities to provide services that they would not be getting otherwise. And this is vital to the lifeblood. And as the capital city airport, I think it's vital to the state that we reflect that kind of aviation organization and that kind of advocacy at all levels. So with all that, I'm willing to entertain any questions and comments.
Well, one thing I can say is the 363 days that you've been here have been a blessing to me. I can tell you that. Member Golden.
Thank you. Ken, that was a great report. I did read through it. So just wanted to let you know, nice job.
Thank you.
Member Rogers.
I was going to joke, Ken, that you ought to add one bullet point to your list of things that you've been involved in. I remembered all this stuff. That's an impressive list. I really couldn't ask for a better for better choices to be made and where to focus your time. I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Further comments or questions? Hearing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We will move on to item I, the legal counsel's report.
Okay, it's late, and I'll be quick. Our bill hopefully will be introduced tomorrow at the legislature. We talked with the Legislative Council Bureau's bill drafter right before the meeting started, just fortuitous that she called right before our meeting started. As I mentioned, I ducked out in the hallway to return her call. I don't want to lose. I want to keep this moving while she's working on it. I've also committed to her that when this meeting's over, I will check my email where she will have sent a draft of the bill as the way it comes out so that we can communicate later this evening and make sure that it's saying what we intended it to say. You know, I just have to tell you, sometimes it's been my experience that you give something to the LCB bill drafters and you get back something you don't recognize. And, you know, and part of it is they have a very difficult job. They're asked to understand everything under the planet, and that's a hard thing to be an expert on everything. Usually you succeed in being an expert at nothing when you do that. But I'll be working on that tonight. But my expectation is this bill will be introduced tomorrow. The deadline for introducing bills has already passed. It was March 18th for a legislator-sponsored bill, and this is a legislator-sponsored bill. But as the chairman pointed out, the legislature adopted a resolution to put some additional time because they knew that there were a glut of bills that had not gotten in. There were a ton of bills that went in on the 18th. It was staggering, but there's still more to come out. So ours should be out tomorrow. Once it's out, I expect that it should be able to move relatively quickly. It should have no opposition because it only affects us and the Carson City, and Carson City has already approved it. We probably will want to run it back through them and show them the version that came out of LCB to make sure they don't see any problems that we're not seeing. To the extent we see the problems, we're going to address them up front. We also have the opportunity in that first hearing to also make changes to it, you know, to propose changes when the bill first comes out. So if I'm not able to get everything fixed tonight, we'll get some more shots at it. But that's the status of the bill. I don't have anything else to report from a legal standpoint, but I'm here to answer any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Takis? Hearing none, we will move on to item J, Treasurer's Report. Mr. Harvey.
The last part of your packet, you have the current P&L, and I'm pleased to say that we've got most of those line items in the right places this time. So I think you'll find that the report reads well. The nice thing is that we are up in our revenues, as I mentioned before, real property tax and land leases. Our ordinary expense, we were up slightly, and that's just from some things like some auditing expense. And then, of course, we had some of the items that was mentioned on the augmentation will come up, and that's nighttime ops and that. But even then, we're up on our expected ordinary income. So good news. It's always good news when your income's up and expenses are pretty much in line. And so we're tracking well to be ahead of schedule for our budget for the end of the year.
So let me know if you have any questions on the report.
Any questions of our treasurer? Hearing none, we will move on to item K. Do any of the members have reports regarding projects or communications or correspondence or status reports? Mr. Barrett.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chairman. Ken, I would like to ask you if you're interested. As you noted during the break, I showed you something from NNDA coming up on March 27th. Now, that is a breakfast, I believe it is, that costs, and it's on water, so you're probably not interested. Would you like me to let you know when there are board meetings so you can show up for those?
I would.
Okay. Secondarily, Steve is correct on the bill. The Board of Supervisors did approve it, but it was an approval of the generality of the support for the Airport Authority going forward because we could not get a look at the language. And Brad Bonkowski was very clear that he wanted to see that language. So I would thank you if you would put that before us. And finally, Ken, I just want to add my thanks that has come from other members up here. You've given us a wonderful first year.
Thank you.
Any further comments or questions? Moving on to public comment, since we have no one in the audience, we will move past public comment. And anybody having an agenda item for the next meeting, please convey it to Mr. Moen so he can get that on the list. Other than that, we stand adjourned.
Thank you, Steve. Yeah. Did that banana get you through?
It did. It's probably my dinner.
That's a great. No, I wish I had.